Shalom, אנחנו קוראים.
We are reading excerpts from the sources on 9th of Av. Let's continue with excerpt number 18. You can watch our lesson at kab.tv. Send us your questions. Selected questions will be heard in the course of the lesson. A lesson on the topic of 9th of Av.
So where are we?
Excerpt number 18.
All right.
Go ahead. Excerpt number 18, Rabash, what is unfounded hatred in the work? Since there was unfounded hatred in the second temple, meaning that they hated the free meaning to the work for free, without any reward, but rather not in order to receive reward. Hence, even though they engage in Torah and mitzvot and in charity, because they did not have the aim to bestow, there was no room for the kedusha, sanctity, to settle there due to the oppositeness of form between them. This is why the temple had to be ruined. The order of the work is that we need Torah and mitzvot and charity so they will bring us to work for free. That is, they are only means to achieve the goal, which is to achieve dvekut, adhesion with the Creator, which is equivalence of form, as it is written, and to cleave on to Him. And our sages said, as He is merciful, so you are merciful.
All right. Yeah, there in the back.
What is unfounded hatred?
Hatred. Unfounded? Meaning that even though I have no reason, but due to the shattering of the vessels that was prior to my creation, I already exist in a state of rejection to connection and a desire to exploit others. And this is called hatred. Give the microphone to a friend.
I don't understand what reward is he talking about.
When it says not in order to receive a prize?
No, they wanted to receive reward for the work. What kind of reward are we talking about?
Prize means that I want to receive something in exchange for my effort. This is called in order to receive a prize. That the effort, the action can be without any kind of self-benefit.
That is why I don't understand what kind of reward is he talking about. What can I accept? Which kind of reward can I accept for my exertion?
When you make an effort or when you want to make an effort, you have two possibilities. To either ask for the strength to make an effort, other than that you don't receive anything else. Only to be able to make an effort. And an effort for you already then means a reward. Or you are willing to make efforts, but you're asking for a reward.
And what is the reward?
Whatever you want. What you have a desire for, a deficiency for in your vessels. However, not in order to receive a prize means you are restricting your vessels that have a desire, even though they have a strong desire to receive fulfillment, and you're restricting them, and you're only asking for the force to carry out the action. And then your reward is only to be able to make an action and to sustain yourself by the upper force that you'll receive, to not do more, to not receive a prize. Not to want is not good. We we can't do anything about the desire itself.
Yeah. So in any case, they expected fulfillment from their work.
We're always looking for fulfillment. We're always wanting to devour the whole of reality. And one who's greater than his friend, his inclination is greater than himself. There's no question about it. The only question is, how much do we have a masach so that we can stand above the will to receive? And it happens only to the extent that the greatness of the Creator in my eyes is more than my own, and by that I can hold myself and do for Him. And this is called not in order to receive a prize, but wanting to receive a prize, we always do. Because if you delete the desire to receive a prize, you're deleting the created being, because the whole created being is a will to receive.
So they wanted to make the right exertion, they wanted to do the right work, but they couldn't.
Let's say, obviously, from the beginning, they want to make the right efforts, but they cannot overcome. And then comes a state where the temple was ruined. Yes. But even though they did not want to receive in order to receive, but by receiving or by having received a little bit, that taste in order to receive entered, and this is called, I ate and I shall eat more, and they could no longer hold themselves, and the shattering continues.
No.
Yes.
Rav, what is charity?
That we need to dig up a lot of sources. Usually it's about in order to bestow. Bestowing to the others is generally called charity. And okay, yes.
Except number 19, Rabash, the matter of joy. On the month of Av, when we must mourn the ruin of the temple, we must work on the left line, meaning criticize our actions, that we must be in the path of Kedusha, sanctity, which is in order to bestow, and how one is remote from bestowal. When one thinks about this, he is in a state of remoteness from Kedusha and is immersed in self-love, where his whole basis for engaging in Torah and Mitzvot is in order to satisfy the will to receive with every possible satisfaction. Therefore, when considering one's lowliness, he can awaken the pain of the ruin of Kedusha that there is in each and every one. And then the verse, all who mourn Jerusalem is rewarded with seeing the comfort of Jerusalem comes true.
Thus, by these states, more and more, as we discover that we're incapable and not willing and not wanting, by that we come to ultimately erupting in cry and prayer and receiving the force of correction. All right? No questions. Yes, Gershon.
Can you explain how to work correctly with criticism that appears during our work? How to work correctly when criticism in our work is revealed? How to work with it correctly?
That I cannot explain. Each and every one needs to do it for himself. In what way? Who? What? Who gives it to him? That you're going to have to do. How to correctly advance? This is our whole work.
Al kol rega v'rega. Ein leze milim.
And it's in each and every moment. It's our whole work is in that. There's no words for it. Yes, more? Yes?
About the previous excerpt, I'm trying to understand about dissemination or connecting the people of Israel. Can I ask about that?
Sure.
Not in order to receive a reward. This is a state where I have no troubles from behind pushing me, because otherwise I know exactly why I'm headed towards connection. There is a reason for it.
Yeah, come on.
So how can you refrain from that state in advance and to know that you have to go for connection? If you see the blows coming your way,
how is it possible to awaken the need for connection and correction if everything's okay? That's the problem, right? This is a problem. The Creator is giving us the state where we have to long for connection. We have to build the connection, the desire for connection between us in ourselves. Not to run away from the blows, but a desire, a deficiency for connection. If we work on that, we won't feel any other deficiency.
But we're searching for oil in the ocean. Nobody knows if there is any oil or not, but you can see the reward ultimately. So
the prize is very simple. We come to human beings and tell them, you're in a state where troubles will soon come. You don't want that to happen, so you have to connect. Well, in these words, of course, all of it needs to be well organized and packaged, but that's it basically. We understand that the best state is that we long for connection to bring contentment to the Creator without any blows, without it. Not because of the blows, but if there is no choice, then we explain that the troubles come because we don't have connection between us. I don't understand what's so difficult here.
So we should do it in two stages, to run away from the blows and then to go for connection out of yearning, longing?
Afterwards will be afterwards. At least explain that all the plagues from and troubles from nature and human society, and these plagues will only increase and grow more intense. You will see what happens, and it's only because we're not connected. To the extent that we're not connected, nature is not connected. And the imbalance in nature, just imagine, say, some kind of engine where every part of it works however it wants, when there's no proper connection between the pieces. So these are the problems that we're facing. When different parts of nature work in a disconnected fashion, there's a general imbalance in nature. And that's why you see fires in one place and cold in another place. I called Moscow yesterday. They had 13 degrees in the summer. In the summer, they sit in their houses with a general heating there that comes from a specific power plant, and then it's shut off in the summer. So they sit there at home in 13 degrees. What can they do? They all wear fur in the summer. And yet, what happens in the other end of the world, like America, let's say, or Europe, plus 40 degrees Celsius, and fires break out and floods happen and so forth. Nature is going out of balance. But who causes it? Man. Because he is unbalanced. And who from the human beings? Niv. That's what it is. That's how it is.
So, what do we do? How do you explain to these people that they have to correct themselves? That you have to guard yourselves, otherwise you will get blows. So, you see, anti-Semitism is already awaiting you and all kinds of other problems around Israel. Everything is becoming tighter and tighter, and there is no choice. So this is how we explain it. And it is, of course, in order to receive a reward. But out of that, you can later discover that it's not worthwhile to work for that. Rather, there is a higher reward. What?
Moscow.
Да, доброе утро. У нас действительно холодно, но
it is cold here. Знаете, but there's a desire to understand. You know, it's not clear if the Creator controls everything, including the heart of the ministers and officers by his side. Is it possible that everything that appears in the world, wars, disasters, is only happening to awaken us? We see how he awakens us, how he controls us in the group. It's as if it doesn't fit together inside. Maybe I don't believe in it, or maybe something missing.
Of course, we are lacking seeing it, feeling it. However, nevertheless, try to see that everything comes from above, each and every moment. Try to see that you are under His control. Your thoughts come from Him. Your desires come from Him. Especially those that are with respect to the friends, with respect to the ten. Always think that He is doing this, He is doing that, He is doing this. So what am I? I just feel how He operates through me. And then you will start to recognize it. You will start to recognize more and more what is going on. This is what we need to do. Most importantly, to recognize how the Creator is taking care of the person, each and every one, especially in terms of his relation to the ten. Because if you discover how much your attitude towards the Ten changes, then immediately you can turn to Him and demand that He will change this attitude. You then have contact with Him and a dialogue, a conversation with Him. Okay, let's continue.
Excerpt number 20 out of Rabash. What is anyone who mourns for Jerusalem is rewarded with seeing its joy in the work. It is known that Malchut is called Jerusalem. Hence, when we say the ruin of Jerusalem, it refers to the ruin of the temple. This is called Shekhinah, divinity, in the dust. Or Shekhinah in exile. In other words, a person should take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven and believe that the Creator leads the world with the guidance of the good who does good, since it is hidden from us. Malchut is the one who gives to the souls and to Bia. Everything that comes from above to the creatures is considered Malchut. Thus, Malchut is not respected by the creatures because they do not see her importance, meaning what she gives to us. This is called Jerusalem in its ruin. In other words, where she should have been giving delight and pleasure to the creatures, and where everyone should have seen her merit, they see that everything is ruined in her, and she has nothing to give. Instead, it is said about it, the mourners for Jerusalem and the lamenting, ruined, degraded, and desolate city. In other words, everything is ruined and destroyed. And this is called Shekhinah in the dust. Hence, when a person should take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven, the body resists vigorously. Thus, if a person overcomes and takes upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven, although he sees no importance and mourns for the importance of Jerusalem being so hidden from us, and prays about why Malchut has no importance, and asks of the Creator to raise Jerusalem from the dust it is in. To the extent that one regrets its ruin, he is rewarded with the Creator hearing his prayer. And that man is rewarded with seeing his joy, meaning that it does bestow upon him delight and pleasure. It follows that the meaning will be that he who regrets and mourns for Jerusalem, for the Shekhinah being in the dust, that person is rewarded with seeing his joy, since there is no light without a kli, without a vessel. Since he has the kli, meaning the lack, his regret that Shekhinah is in the dust, he is therefore rewarded with seeing the comfort of Jerusalem.
In other words, if a person regrets that he doesn't have an inclination towards connection, towards bestowal, towards seeing the greatness of the Creator above his own greatness, that the Creator's desire will determine what he will do and think and want, and it's not that he determines it. If this is what he wants to happen, it is called that he has fear, that the Creator is above him. He determines, he directs, and he wants that. If he doesn't want that, but he realizes that it should be so, it is considered that he is in the ruin. To the extent that he understands how it needs to be, but he doesn't want it. He feels that he doesn't want it, and at the same time he feels that it should be this way. Accordingly, his sorrow is determined. Does he regret that he truly wants to enjoy for himself and not to do what the law of bestowal and love determines? Let's say, love your friend as yourself, connection in the ten, etc. So then accordingly he sees that whether he is in the shattering, he's in the ruin or not. And as much as he mourns for it, he prays for it to pass away, accordingly he hopes for correction. Is that okay? Is it clear? There are no questions. None. Good? Yes, Dudi?
It's well, not clear to me what to do. If I see a man in the ruin,
what does it mean that you see that you're in the ruin?
When I see that I'm capable of doing, but I do nothing. Indifferent.
Well, that's not ruin yet. The true ruin is that I'm under great tension, that I realize that we have to perform an act of bestowal towards the friends, towards the group, towards people, it doesn't matter how, and I don't feel that it's important for me. I feel that I have no powers. I cannot move. Right, Gershon? I cannot move. Why can't I move? I don't have importance. I don't have importance. That's all in all is what gives me the power. I have no importance. It means that sanctity is in its ruin in my eyes. That's it. And I look at myself, and you can see that my heart, that should entirely be in order to bestow, is in order to receive, and I cannot do anything with it. That's it. Ruin. So, what are you asking?
I don't feel like having more importance.
Okay, so here there are a few questions. First of all, I see the situation. So, I see the situation that I am in ruin. Now, it could be that I'm crying, truly erupting in a cry, and I'm crying out, and it could be just like that, that at the same time that I'm crying and erupting, I could direct this to the Creator. I could or I could not. It depends on how much we are connected to the path. It could be that I realize that the Creator has arranged all of these things for me, so then I turn to Him in a different manner. It could be that I'm not crying, but somehow I do regret it, but I'm used to it. And it could be that I feel that it's all okay, it's all normal, that's how it used to be, and this is how it is today as well. And I just let it go. So it all depends on how much a person recognizes what state he is in with respect to sanctity. So your question is?
How to come out of a state when you feel that everything's okay, everything's normal, the lowest state. How to come out of this state when a person thinks everything is normal and fine,
but he nevertheless knows what normal means, or doesn't he? I don't understand. Are you talking about a person who recognizes that he's in desires that are incorrect, that he would have liked to somehow come out, however, he doesn't really care?
But he has no importance and he doesn't care even about that.
But he knows.
Yes.
He knows. Okay. So, what to do?
Exactly. That's a question.
That is, he is in prison, right? And cannot get out of there. He doesn't have the powers. Right? So, what does it say there? That he has to cry out to his friends. Perhaps they will hear. It's in the desert or in the forest. They're wandering in the desert. And yes, in the last generation. In short, he cannot do it by himself. In summary, he cannot do it by himself. So you have no choice. You will have to call out to the friends, but to call them. It could be that you're not awakening them. This is why it says there that he has to yell for them to come and save him. It's as though you've lost your way in the forest. So you yell, you do something.
Yes, in the writings of the last generation, in the introduction, it's like a society of people who are hungry and thirsty, and they're in the desert. And one of them found a city with good food, and he remembered his miserable brothers. But he walked a long way, he didn't know where they are. So he started yelling and blowing the horn. Maybe they can hear him, they're so hungry and miserable. And if they hear him, they can come closer to that city with all the food.
It doesn't matter. So, in short, you cannot do it by yourself. As you describe it, you can't do it by yourself. Okay? Yes, Bill. Divrit?
I wish. Baal Salaam tells us that we live in a cause and effect world. The plan of creation is a cause and effect plan. If I do feel and act this way, then the plan of creation gives me that in another way. But yet throughout all the text, he continually says or refers to the Creator as if he has human emotions. So it gets a little confusing because we know that there's no human emotions in the plan of creation. If you do this, you get that. That's the plan of creation. If we equal the frequency of the plan, we have certain attainments that come to us. So why do we continue to do that?
You're right. Start talking about everything just like regarding a machine that you're fixing. There's no problem. You will not be mistaken. But say the same about yourself. Also about yourself, about your nerves, your mood, all of these things. Talk about it in a scientific manner. How much each and everything goes up or down, or something is happening there in my nerve system, or my system of thoughts, etc. Go ahead, there's no problem with it. However, because we don't know how to grade our emotions, our thoughts, our desires, we cannot measure them. This is why we speak in an emotional manner. But if we would know, then I would never say that I'm getting upset. I would give it, or I'm crying. I would give it some kind of a scientific discernment. Plus 15, minus 100, let's say, and that's it. But we cannot measure our spiritual forces, and therefore we speak in the language of sensation. But in truth, if we will go to, let's say, doctors or experts, let's say that there are such experts, they will tell you, we will do a little bit of this and a little bit of that, make some kind of a mixture, and this is considered a person's mood. That's it. There's nothing to it. It's just forces.
If in our dissemination we were to refer to it more as like what you just said, how to change our frequency from will to receive to the will to bestow, wouldn't this be more attractive?
Who would even understand us? Who would understand us?
We do it through the laws of nature. We aren't talking about emotional breakthroughs. We're talking about connection, which is all we need to take to the people anyway.
Kabbalists, well, to the contrary, to the opposite. They took the laws of nature and they explained them in an emotional manner that is closer to people, in a language that is closer to us. They could have continued to talk about discernments, prinot, masach, desire, and all kinds of such things as in the wisdom of Kabbalah. There are no emotions there. Where do you have emotions there? None. This is a bit more, this is a bit less. You have shattering or an ascent or a descent. Boom, boom, boom. That's it. When it starts passing over us, we shudder, we cry, we don't know what to do, we don't have a power, we do have power, suddenly we laugh, suddenly we cry. So, what do you think? That it's more worthwhile for us to speak in a technical, mechanical language? We don't understand that in the meanwhile. When we will be together with masachim screens, first of all, we need to have a tzimtzum and masach. Above the tzimtzum and masach, if we will work with the upper light, less light, more of a screen, less of a screen, then we will be able to speak differently as they speak in the books of Kabbalah. However, we're not yet on their degrees in their states. This is why we don't understand what they're writing. He writes to me about Tzimtzum Bet, the second restriction. What is Tzimtzum Bet? What do I restrict? Galgalta and Naim remain, the Ahab is restricted. So restrict your Ahab. Well, what does it mean to restrict the ahap? I don't feel inside of me the desires that these desires are called ahap, and these desires are galgal ta'inayim, and the desires of the ahap, I restrict them. What do I do with them? What does it mean to restrict them? You see, we don't have these kelim in our hand. This is why we speak in the language of sensation, of emotion, for the time being. And we also learn in the language of Kabbalah, in order to come closer to the right reality. But I hope that we will all together enter the spiritual reality, and then we will be speaking in the same language as they speak in Tess, just like there, or we will speak like that in the Torah or in the Talmud. They all speak about the same thing, however, using different languages. So, what can we do? But for the time being, you see, we have no choice. We are talking about those phenomena that we feel in our desires. About the same phenomena that we feel in our desires. And those phenomena are only emotional for the time being. I can't write them down in any other way.
Last thing I wanted to bring up was the newspaper that Duty's doing, which is really beautiful, going out to all of Israel. But I would like to see one post in there in a foreign language, instead of making it all Hebrew. 1 month you do English, 1 month you do German, 1 month you do Spanish, and so on. And I believe it's a feeling, a sensation that we will attract even more people.
Go ahead. Do it. Whatever is printed, it's printed so that we can hand it out here. But do it on the internet. Translate it.
But I'm saying for here, there are people that are here that read more than just Hebrew. And these people would get a different sensation or feeling from seeing it in another language.
It could be, I don't know, that's not for me. So do the calculation. Maybe it's worthwhile doing it in English also. Do the calculation. If you will hand it out to people who cannot read in Hebrew, in Russian, you see, they're doing it. In Russian, it has been done. So, you see? Look. So, do it. Do it. In English, of course, it's possible to do it. The question is only, how will you hand it out? To whom will you hand it out? Where? I assume that there are many such people in Israel who read only English. However,
be surprised, I don't know how to. How many people in Israel actually understand English? And when I go into a place and they hear my accent, they want to know more, they want to hear more, they want to see what I've. If you put one of these articles written by some of these beautiful writers that we have in English, one article, just one, in the paper, it'll go over even bigger than it already has.
Okay, make up your mind. I don't know. It could be that just one article, I don't know. It seems to me that if we're going to do it, then, well, I don't know, we need to speak in terms of quantities. Is it worthwhile or not? Well, where are we?
Excerpt number 21 from Rabash. The ruin of Kedusha. One should pray for the ruin of the temple, that the Kedusha, the sanctity, is ruined and in lowliness, and no one pays attention to this lowliness, that the Kedusha is placed in the earth and must be lifted from its lowliness. In other words, each one recognizes his own benefit and knows that this is something very important and worth working for. But to bestow, this is not worthwhile. This is considered that the Kedusha is placed in the earth, unused and unwanted. However, one must not ask the Creator to bring him closer to him, as it is insolence on the part of man. For in what is he more important than others? However, when he prays for the collective, which is Malchut, called Assembly of Israel, the sum of the souls, that the Shekhinah, the divinity, is in the dust, and he prays that she will rise, meaning that the Creator will light up her darkness, then all of Israel will rise in degree too, including the beseeching person, who is included in the collective.
So, how do we reach that? Let's say, it's clear that it's impossible to correct what is not broken. The corruption is felt according to the degree of sorrow that we feel because it is corrupted, broken. And also, how much do we understand? What is corrupted? Why is it broken? In what way can we fix it? If it is possible, etc. So, as much as we understand where we are. So, how can we reach a state where indeed I will have each and every one of us and all of us together in common will have sorrow about the ruin? About the ruin, meaning the ruin of love, the ruin of our connection, what we call the ruin of sanctity. How will we reach that? According to us doing a calculation, taking an account, we can see where we are, and we are not in ruin. We are not in the ninth of Av. If I was in the state of the ninth of Av, I would be happy that I've already finally discovered the bad situation, and I'm crying, and along with that, I'm happy because I do have a cry, I have sorrow, but I have nothing. Indifference, dust. So, what do we do? Is there any advice? Yes?
Not know David.
Give it to David.
The text is not in front of me, but I think that Rabash gives a very important advice. He says that any one of us can feel this destruction.
How?
If we can read the text again, please.
Please, go ahead, Niv.
Excerpt number 21 from Rabash, The Ruin of Kedusha, Holiness. One should pray for the ruin of the temple, that the Kedusha is ruined, and in lowliness, and no one pays attention to this lowliness, that the Kedusha is placed in the earth, and must be lifted from its lowliness. In other words, each one recognizes his own benefit and knows that this is something very important and worth working for. But to bestow, this is not worthwhile. This is considered that the Kedusha is placed in the earth, unused and unwanted. However, one must not ask the Creator to bring him closer to him, as it is insolence on the part of man. For in what is he more important than others? However, when he prays for the collective, which is Malchut, called Assembly of Israel, the sum of the souls, that the Shekhinah, the divinity, is in the dust, and he prays that she will rise, meaning that the Creator will light up her darkness. Then all of Israel will rise in degree too, including the beseeching person who is included in the collective.
Yes.
I can't understand the connection between the first part and the second part. On the one hand, he says that no one feels the sorrow. On the other hand, everyone has a prayer. and they're praying for themselves. And he says, that's not a good idea. You should pray for the collective.
Yes.
So where does this prayer stem from for each of us if we don't have the sorrow?
If you don't have the sorrow, then it would only be through blows, only through suffering. How else can it be? We are all in a slumber. Whatever there is, I don't care. Whatever will be, I don't care. Whatever was, I don't care. We just carry out from one day to the next. You know, thank the Lord for each day. This is how we live, living without a purpose, without that goal that the Creator has set before us, as to the people of Israel, that we have to reach connection between us and show this connection to the whole world, so that in the end everyone will connect with everyone. And this is actually what will bring him contentment. And this is the goal that he has determined. This is how he shaped things. So what are we going to do? It says simply that if not through Torah, meaning through the reforming light, in a way that we ourselves try with all of our force to draw the reforming light, which is called the path of the light or the path of Torah, then it will be through the path of suffering. Then all kinds of suffering come to us from the kinds of sufferings that are farthest from the purpose, like hurricanes you see, and all kinds of fires and wars and blows, etc. And then we begin through them to soften our heart. It greatly softens our heart. It makes a person be impressed and excited and become more sensitive, more soft. And then he begins to listen more. So what is the problem? Maybe it is truly, maybe indeed, it is because we don't have the right connection between us. Because we, the human system on the face of the earth, are the uppermost, the greatest system that determines everything. And in our relations, we determine that the entire planet will come out of balance. It comes out of balance because we are not correctly connected between us. This is what the wisdom of Kabbalah says. Now, the question is, are we going to hear it or not? I see that even we do not quite hear it. So,
maybe we can define in a good way what Kedusha means and what it means when it's in the dust.
Kedusha, holiness, it's very simple. Love your friend as yourself. That is sanctity. And from that we come to love the Lord your God, which is the inclusive, the one, the thing that includes everything.
This means that we don't have a chisaron to love the friend as yourself?
Of course we don't have it. I have to rise above my desire, above my individual love, in order to be in the collective love, in the love of others. I cannot love this as well as that. I have one desire. And this desire, what is this concerned about? Either for myself or for others. It cannot be any other way.
And now the second part of the text, he gives us an advice that we should pray for the collective.
Right.
And then they will arise. So can you explain what a person who's in a state that he has no importance for the love of the friend as yourself, what should he do in order to pray for the collective?
Well, he has to organize an environment artificially so that it will influence him. And this environment includes books, study, friends, the group, in short, everything possible, so that they will speak about the importance of rising above the egoistic desire towards connection with the friends, connection with others. We are at that point where we cannot move. Why can't we move? Because when we rise a little bit above it, the Creator adds a little bit to our ego. And we do a bit more. We try, we really invest, and he adds a little bit more of an ego. We have not yet reached the quota where he has to add, let's say, 100 kilograms of heaviness, and we have to rise above those 100 kilograms of heaviness. We haven't reached it yet, but we're kind of passive about it. We need to invest more and more. Nevertheless, in spite of the burdening of the heart, to yearn for connection and realize that this is the purpose of creation. By that we correct the world and we correct humanity and we correct nature, we correct everything. By that, all in all, we are creating a system where the Creator can clothe in and enjoy, and we're bringing Him contentment. So what else can we do here? Okay. Yes, Moshe.
Trying to understand how a person can get information, just as you said, that if we're not connected, this is why disasters occur.
Oh.
How can I accept such a thing? Only above reason.
Only by you understanding that it is a system of forces, that we also have forces of envy, lust, honor, control. In short, there are two forces of connection and forces of rejection. Either attracting or rejecting. So we have to develop forces of attraction so that we will revive the broken, torn network of connections between us.
No, the explanation is clear to me, but about the approach itself. I heard that smoking harms you. I heard it from the Board of Ministry of Health, and even a doctor sent me something that one cigarette is even harmful for you. So I believe it. There's a general belief. So I didn't do the researches. And I still smoke from time to time, but I respect the science and physicians, so I'll probably have to quit. Now, here I'm asking, they say on Facebook or something, we're not scientists, and then we say, because we're not connected, natural disasters occur. So I'm thinking about a person with some intellect. How should he accept such a thing? Why should he? There are no proof for that. And I guess the way I understand it, we're not going to get any proof, because if there will be any proof, everyone will connect because it's egoistically. But so I'm trying to understand.
No. First of all, we have to begin in an egoistic manner, that it's good for us, it's worthwhile for us to run away from the troubles.
How can a person connect the trouble to the fact that he's not connected to others? What's the connection between
them? This is the highest force in nature. He just has to understand that we are connected also through our inner forces. If we're all interconnected, there is the force of thought, the force of desire. These are forces, even though they are concealed. However, these forces operate in nature. However, we cannot discover them. And there are many scientists also and many research institutes that are not so revealed. They're hidden, but they research that. They want to know about it, because all of these, what we call supernatural forces, they're not supernatural. These are forces that escape our discovery, our sensation, but they're there. It's like you feel that someone is looking at you. How do you feel that? What does he do to you? He's sending from his eye some kind of arrow, but you do feel that this is how it is. So there are all kinds of sensations. There are things that are hidden from us. These are truly very strong forces, but along with that, they are concealed. So the wisdom of Kabbalah comes and says, there will be disasters, there will be problems. I'm not even talking about the fact that we can reach a state called the Garden of Eden, above nature, not to feel any of these limitations of our physical world. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about how to be saved from destruction, from annihilation, how to be saved from disasters. Tomorrow it will be not like the kind of cold that you have now in Moscow. All over the earth you will have such a temperature of minus 40 or 50 degrees. What do you need that for? Or something else?
I'm asking about the way we present the material. If a person hears about some non-profit organization that says something, maybe we should have a very respectable office saying this thing.
Well, try to sell it to some respectable ministry. Go ahead. Try. I don't know. It seems to me that no one will want to engage in it. I am willing, there's no problem. The wisdom of Kabbalah is open to everyone. You can see why it's called the hidden wisdom. Nobody wants to discover it. That's it. It's hidden. Somewhere out there. It's not anywhere. It's all wide open before you. So what's hidden? Your heart is blocked. You don't want it. This is why you say it's hidden.
No, that's why I'm asking. Do you know of any way that humanity can accept it, or should we try everything?
If it would be known to me, do you think that I wouldn't be just doing it? I speak every day with all kinds of strangers, all kinds of people from one extreme to the other. I don't care who it is. Please, go ahead. Anyone. And they do not understand. And if they do understand, it just remains like that. But nevertheless, I keep passing it out. I keep passing it out to everyone. So that subconsciously, nevertheless, we're all connected. In the end, this is how it spreads.
The question is,
I remember Rabash had someone who wanted to talk to him about Kabbalah. Some American guy who came to Israel, and before he went to the airport, he had to pass. He had time at 11 p.m. He could go through Rabash to ask him about something and ask him, and Rabash got up. This is just some person, and he came and truly so, meaning that the person did not take himself into calculation if it was possible to explain something to someone.
So, in the peace article, Bala Sulam writes that there are two laws, the force of reception and the force of bestowal. If a person receives too much, a punishment immediately comes. And when you don't maintain the law of bestowal or connection the way we say it, the punishment will come, but it's not direct. Now there's a question about this. We'll probably won't be able to prove that directly. If we're connected, there are no disasters. We're going to have to believe it above reason. And then I'm asking,
no, I think this is incorrect. This already comes out of the realm of the individual and already enters the general. I dwell within my own people. So then we discover the positive force, the force of connection, when it is revealed among many people, and then we can identify in them that there is a special force there. And no one, as he writes, what does he write? That no one can then touch us. So that nobody can touch us then.
Within reason, we can reveal the benefits?
You could see it. You could see it. That just like now we can see that the Jews are some kind of a phenomenon in the world that is not understood, but they remain. Whatever you do with them, nevertheless, they keep getting up and they stay here. What can you do with them? How can we erase them? What can we do about them? Well, we can't. We see it's some kind of an odd phenomenon. So there will be an even odder phenomenon where that part of the world that will take on the method of connection, as it says that shelter town, you can't destroy them, you can't do anything with them. The whole world can be against them, but they won't be able to do anything to them. Oh, try it out.
That's also a question. We're trying.
Well, so, go ahead. But, first of all, we need to discover what state we're in. Discover that it is truly ruin. It's the ninth of Av. And regret it. And be happy that we are reaching sorrow that it is truly so. And then go through it in such a way that from here we're heading towards correction.
That's a question again. Thousands of people, maybe hundreds of thousands, are trying to connect, really trying. So, and we see that the disasters only grow. So, where are the results?
Who is trying to connect? What, the parties?
No, we.
Oh, we. Yes, okay.
There are thousands of people who are aware of it, in different amounts maybe. But millions of people here.
Okay, so set a day, a certain day, with a certain request, let's say, so that all of our friends all over the world, you will print, you make a page on the internet somewhere where this is what we are all reading it and all are asking and we're all trying that in our heart we will feel so and so.
We're doing this 3 times a day. We do it every day. There's the daily task. We all think about the same things and for years already. So I'm asking, until today, the way I understood it was we shouldn't look at the results. Maybe we should.
The results? No, not in order to receive. This is called not to look at the results, but in order to bestow. When will my deeds reach the deeds of my forefathers? Of course we should. Yes?
Shouldn't it be better in the world? So many people trying to connect for years.
Apparently not trying enough. Quantity, I'm not talking about quantity. Quantity, well, the Creator will bring more or will take some away. He does these things. We just have to open up a place for everyone. If they want to, they can come in. If they want to, they can get out. That's their business. We only have to raise our compression.
So that's what I'm saying. Until today, I didn't look at the results. We're trying till the end of my life. We're going to try, and whatever happens, happens.
No. That's something altogether different. The fact that I try to do whatever I can do, whatever it is, and I'm not asking about did I succeed or not, that in terms of me personally, but with respect to my work, I always have to see how much more and more I'm influencing everyone, or bestowing to everyone. Yes.
There's an interesting phenomenon, as you said, that after blows come, you suddenly understand that if we'll connect, they won't come. Even a few years ago, if we speak about the disasters of nature, there were floods in America, I think it was Central America, and then our friends went to the shelters there because people couldn't live in their homes. Everything's flooded, and they had circles. And these Americans, simple Americans, were sitting and saying that the connection between us will prevent these disasters. How did it come to their mind? It was a real wonder. What's the connection between us connecting? And they were saying it out of themselves. So, two things come out here. On the one hand, there are blows, and somehow the idea that if we connect, we won't have disasters. And also, there were the conditions for it. They were flooded, so they were sitting in shelters. It happens in wars as well. There are physical conditions. The people don't work.
Still, you want it to happen?
No, that's the question. How can we create a moment after they went back to their homes, everything was forgotten, and what's the connection between this people connecting and disasters? And who has time to connect? We have our daily business. So how do we create these conditions that are sometimes artificially is forced upon us?
Now, you can take everything that occurred back then and what is happening now and where we're heading according to the expectations of, you know, what scientists are saying, and make a nice, complete article about it and publicize it all over the world. Nevertheless, it will have some influence. Let's say something happened yesterday. Let's say, yesterday, how many of you disseminated whatever you had to disseminate? How many likes or shares or I don't know what? How many of you sent to all of the different networks, all the different places, everything that you think is important that everyone should know? Not to our own guys that understand it anyway and they hear it, rather outside our framework. I'm talking even about that. Well, the connection between us, that's the work of connection. But outside, there, they don't demand anything from you to do other than just punch your keyboard. Well, so we have what to do, and we need to cry over our indifference and sadness. Indifference and sadness. And we need to awaken each other in that. You're saying 3 times a day, like he was saying, or you're saying we awaken. Awaken towards what? What are the results, practically, in the field? If you, meaning Israel, are not concerned about the whole world, besides the nation of Israel, also the whole world, then you won't receive anything. Because you're doing it in order to receive in such a very clear, obvious way. You're seemingly in the greatest klipa shell. You want to receive everything from the Creator, and you forget about them. What do I care about them? You remember what the Lord said to Jonah? That these are my children. I care for them. I gave you the task to go to them and save them. What does it mean that you're running away from it? I care about them. So this is the Maftir prayer on the day of Kippurim, Atonement, to remind us to repent. Okay. Well, Moscow.
Good morning, Rav. Today you gave us a wondrous formula. We're asking for love between the friends in the tent so that this light of love will pass on to the nations of the world. And thirdly, that the Creator enjoys it. That's what He wants. Can you give us a model of a purposeful prayer when these three components can connect into one request?
I can't. You have to compose it. You have to compose a new prayer each day. Each day, a new prayer. Because we have nothing other than prayer in the end. Dissemination on our part to the outside, and a prayer on our side upward. This is what we have. And this, as well as that, must be done from the united heart through connection, and you have to do it. I cannot. I cannot.
How can we compose all that or connect it all to one heart? How can we connect these three components to one heart?
Well, talk between you. Everyone should write. Everyone should write. That each one will write and you will arrange these things. Each one can write, let's say, 3 or 4 short sentences, but so that they will be the most, the deepest coming out of his heart. I don't know how to do it, but this work that you will do with your heart in the meantime, in this quest, looking for the direction, that's the most important. Not that in the end you will have some nice words on paper or on the computer. The most important is that you will work with your heart and search. How do we connect? How can we bring our deficiency? Who do we turn to? This is the strongest force in nature. It is the strongest force, thought and desire. And if we will activate it properly, you will see how much we can make that leap that we're missing until the end. Okay.
Peter.
Слышно?
Раб, у меня такой организационный больше вопрос. У нас тут чуть не до драки. Раф,
question about the organization.
Человек за столом в десятке.
We have arguments. Sometimes we almost start to have fist fights about the how many friends are sitting around the table. Now, when I say that's the way it was with Rabash, they say it's not relevant anymore. Someone says you can sit two people. Now we are sitting seven or eight friends together. Now we are, should we divide into tens and is there a meaning for a work when we're not exactly 10?
No, there's no meaning, and it's not worth fighting for. The most important is not to fight because of the number. I was in a 10 where there were 6 people, and it was called a 10. That's it. What is more important? Why is it important? Don't calculate according to 10. We're not working with 10, so it is adapted to the 10 sefirot or to the character of each one, etc. That will come later. The most important is not to fight. You found a reason to fight over. Okay. Peter. We also have
Latin America.
Misham.
Who's there?
Buenos días, querido Rab. Tenemos dos preguntas.
Hello, dear Rab. We have two questions. First one is, how can we measure bestowal towards others, for towards the ten, towards the world?
We can't measure it for the time being. How will we be able to measure it with direct light, returning light, when we will have a common pursuit between us and the world? Of course, as much as we will get a desire from the world, and how much over this desire we will be able to generate or hozer and give them accordingly, we will have a pursuit accordingly. Well, yeah, you don't have a pursuit, a structure. And then everything we will be able to check and be able to measure, it's very simple. When I connect with a friend, I take his desire and I can work with his desire such that I do everything for him. So already I have a pursuit. Already I'm doing it. It's possible to do it. With the world, it's even easier relative compared to doing it with one person. Okay, that was Latin America. We also have Germany. Another question? Oh, Latin America. You had another question.
Sí, Rab. Tenemos otra pregunta. Es que...
No. Yes, Rav, we have one more question. Why do we connect only when the troubles occur?
Because we're egoists. We're like sheep. When they're afraid, then they come together. You saw that? So this is how we are as well. We're animals. It's the instinct of animals.
What is the difference between the synagogue and the holy temple?
Ma evdel ben bet knesset leben holy.
The last word.
The synagogue, or a place of gathering, it's a house of gathering where everyone gathers together. A place where everyone gathers together is called a house, a kli, where everyone gathers. Bet Knesset, literally a house of gathering. This is what it is called. And it's not because people pray there. This is how it was done throughout history. But actually, the place where people connect in order to connect and turn to the Creator is called a place of gathering, Beit Knesset. That's it. What difference is there between the synagogue and the temple? There is no difference. The temple is just a more complete form of connection where, well, in the synagogue, it's the same. We have to make sacrifices, meaning each one sacrifices his egoistic desire for the sake of connection. With all of the laws of the temple, these are all laws of connection. There is no more laws of connection only. Just realize that there is nothing besides that. Also in the synagogue, but there it's, you know, on a small scale, without, well, not on a large scale, but all in all, everywhere where there is a group and it wants to connect, that place, their common heart is called Beit Knesset, synagogue, or literally house of gathering. It's not a room, but in our world, yes, it is a room. That's the synagogue. Okay. What we have left is United Vigi.
Hello, Rav. Hello, dear Rav. We learn that the destruction of the temple in the spiritual world is in accordance to what happened to in the world of Atzilut and Nikudim. How can we, in our prayer for the Ten, for our connection, correct that? What should we do? Rise to that degree in order to make this correction, or how does it work?
There is no ascent on the degrees. Forget about that. You have to connect together with others and together, everyone, in spite of the ego between you, in spite of the hatred, in spite of the quarreling, in spite of all kinds of feuds. Love covers all crimes. You just have to cover it, not to erase all the crimes between you. And then in such a way, you turn to the Creator and you say, we want to be connected. Make it so. And that's it. However, you have to ask together. Ask together. Even though you can't even look at this other one. And the other one, you didn't even talk to him for the last 6 months. And that one is holding a knife behind his back. Nevertheless, above this nature that exists in each one, you are asking for a connection from the Creator. This is the right prayer. Okay.
No.
Well, and we have another question.
Yeah, maybe it's more an announcement. I wanted to say that we understand that there is a need for dissemination. And from conversations with many friends, we understand that we have to do something. And so on this Saturday, between 7 and 8 o'clock, we're going to have a workshop about dissemination in the internet, just what you were just talking with the Moscow group, etc. Likes, shares, what to do, what not to do. Friends addressed us and said that they don't know what to do and how to do. So we'd like you to also be there.
I'll be there if it has to do with not just some reporting, but it's about dissemination, of course.
So this will take place on this upcoming show, Saturday, 7 until 8. We are also asking the women to join us in this broadcast, to hear it and be part of this. It's very, very important. We all feel this way.
Excellent. Yes?
One more question. We have, if people have a college degree or university degree, and they have an opportunity to make a master's degree about anti-Semitism.
It's very worthwhile. Very worthwhile. This profession will be in high demand among the Jews, but also because of among the anti-Semites. I'm telling you seriously, this is a natural phenomenon. I relate to it just like the force of gravity. I mean, why does it matter? It's a force, plus or minus, it doesn't matter how, but a force is always working either from the plus or from the minus, and we need to get to know it, to be familiar with it. So I would highly recommend it. I highly recommend it. Anyone who can join this, if the conditions, and I'm sure you know about those, and they can turn to you.
Yeah, whoever wants, tomorrow at 10 a.m., you can join us here in the center. We're going to have a special happening with information about it. Tomorrow, Friday, 10 a.m., you can all come over here.
I would join this myself if I could. Really. I recommend it to each and every one. However, in terms of, we can't study from far away, right? Long
no,
distance?
That's impossible at the moment. But if anyone has a BA and you're interested, you can.
Yes?
I just wanted to share with everyone that it took us only a few days for all the people here and around to finish all the newspapers. We haven't got any left. We did it in tens, and we did good work. And now friends all over Israel are also about to end handing out.
Is there any difference between the distribution and handing out that we had 2 or 3 minutes ago or versus today?
Yeah, the difference is that this time we did it in tens, meaning every ten was responsible for a certain area, and that made the whole difference. Previously it was only one or two going out, now it's tens.
And the responses, do you feel them?
Responses for what?
That we're, you know, responses from the people, from the nation?
Oh, from the people? You should ask Dudi. I don't know what responses he gets.
Okay. And, Niv.
Announcements. Evening lesson. You're all invited to watch us tonight, 5:30 p.m., live with the Rav Lightman on our website, Sviva Tova. Thank you to all our TV viewers. Have a good day. Together in the academy, we're happy to tell you that we're starting the registration for a special degree about Israel and Judaism in our times. Meeting tomorrow, 10 a.m. over here, 12 Nevatim Street, Petah Tikva. A lesson about the weekly portion. Every Friday at 1 p.m. we're having a special lesson about the weekly portion with Rav Dr. Michael Lightman with all the friends from Israel. Immediately after the lesson, we're having a special meal. At this we conclude. Thank you. Have a good day.